Welcome to the Crude Life Podcast, because sometimes when you're making money, life can just be crude. Hey folks, how you doing? My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and talk show host. And on today's episode, I interview Blue Halsey, Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Regulatory Affairs with Continental Resources. In this exclusive interview, we talk about the first ever sale of Bakken oil specifically delivering overseas. Continental Resources has sold over a million barrels of crude oil for November delivery that's going to end up intended to go to exports to China. In just a moment, our exclusive interview with Blue Halsey, Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Regulatory Affairs with Continental Resources. But first, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. They literally keep our lights on. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When I think of the world that I want to live in, it's with people that care, that take risks, that reinvent themselves, reinvent their organizations, reinvent their industries. And Eric's a model citizen for that. He's trying to solve problems. He's trying to bring people into those solutions. He does incredibly well, but he lives generously. I think a community filled with people like Eric that are solving problems, giving it their best, and creating an environment for others to lead and soar and succeed, that's the place I want to live. And so Eric's the type of person that's in my community, and I'm really grateful for that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. In 3, 2, 1, go ahead.
My name is Blue Halsey, and I'm the Senior Vice President of Government and Regulatory Affairs for Continental Resources.
What sparked the interview was some news that came out recently about selling some crude oil out to China. Of course, some people got their heads turned right away on something like that. But this isn't so much new news as much as it is kind of a new thing for you guys in terms of this happened when they reversed the export ban a few years ago. So this has got to be exciting news for you guys with Continental Resources, taking advantage of something now after, 2 years since they've lifted that ban? Help me out with the timelines.
In 2015, it was December of 2015, Congress did lift the export ban. It was something that, and that's a date we remember because we worked really, really hard on that 2 years prior to that and really trying to move that along. So that 2015 time frame was something that we worked really hard. We had just entered the downturn of that final year in 14, and so it was really the end of 14, so it was really a tough situation where we were from a market perspective, and talking about the need to access additional markets and looking at the artificial difference between world price, Brent price, and WTI. And that was really something that allowed us to go to Capitol Hill and talk about the need for us to gain world market and really talk about what disadvantage that was putting U.S. crude producers to world producers.
The one thing that actually I wrote down two things when I read that news story was the first one, what does this mean for workers? And then secondly, what does this mean for consumers? And I would I would think at the end of the day, they both have to be pretty good news.
You know, it is. I will tell you from a consumer standpoint, the ability for us to get having long-term contracts with not only with refiners here as well as refiners around the world, it puts American producers in the driver's seat of where we're going from an energy perspective. And that, again, I think that's really beneficial as we talk about long-term energy security. Long-term energy dominance, as the Trump administration has talked before about what that means for jobs in our economy and obviously just energy to do economic activity in our country. I think that's a fantastic as we continue to push that forward and continue to do new things from a development standpoint, finding those markets and ensuring that we have those buyers and that we can, as Americans, enter into partnership to provide energy to other parts of the world and create allies through energy development is a key part and a key part of geopolitical improvement and what our country is going to do. I think that that will benefit both the consumers and the producers to find those markets and allow us to continue to develop our resources here at home.
You know, and I look at it like, you know, when you mentioned the downturn and their low prices, whatever the term is that we're calling it these days, but low oil prices were happening, and everybody had to tighten their belt straps a little bit or expand or contrast or kind of look for some new markets. And off air, I kind of told you about a new market that I had to get into, more into the capitalism side of things as opposed to the energy, just because we had to streamline and figure out what we had to deal with. I look at this as you guys went out and found a new market, you know, and so the reason I wrote down workers, it would seem to me if you guys are finding more work or more buyers, it's going to keep people employed longer because, you know, it's no secret that the energy industry, you know, it's like farming. It's a commodity price-based industry. So I would think this would be good news for workers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things to look at between, you know, oil price and WTI price, you know, and including in the North Dakota area, you had, first of all, you had a discount for transportation, and then you're getting a discount of WTI price, which is what you priced at Cushing versus Brent world price. You know, that could be up to, you know, you could see a $10 transfer, a $10 differential, $6 and maybe another $4 for transport to up to $6. So you could conceivably a $12 differential between those two prices. The more work we do to put the North Dakota Bakken crude on a world market and look at getting those Brent prices, the better it is for the state. That also aids in the transportation. You know, you look at infrastructure issues. The infrastructure projects from pipeline perspective that have come out and been recently put in North Dakota, those have been extremely helpful to the state when it comes to the actual basis of which we're selling that crude. So that's helping, and it's helping the state, and it's also providing jobs, and the more money that we can get for our crude in North Dakota, the more that means we're going to be drilling, and that's helping jobs as well. So there is a domino effect that it's a beneficial. It's all beneficial.
Blue Hulsey with Continental Resources. We're talking about the recent news of selling some crude over to China, taking advantage of the export ban as well as the global marketplace that exists on this planet. If you had a few minutes, I wanted to ask you about, I know I saw your name in some programs at the recent events, whether it be the Bakken conference or the petroleum conference. I think it was either at both or one of the ones. Either you were being inducted for something or you spoke, but I saw that basically you were a heavyweight of knowledge when it came to the Bakken. So I wanted to see if maybe you could give an update on oil, natural gas, and maybe a few research and development things that, if you guys have any, happening out there in the Bakken.
You know, I will tell you, and you mentioned it in your earlier statement about us, you know, really getting better and tightening our belt. I think that's one of the things that we've had to do as an industry within North Dakota is figure out how to, with the price constraints of how to make, get more out of the dollar, get more out of the bid, get more out of what we're doing as a company. And I think that's, as markets happen and markets work, you're forced to get better, and that's the great thing about the world we live in and the business that we're doing is you get better or you're not moving forward. And our company and Harold, our founder, are consistently trying to find improvements, trying to find production improvements, cost cutting measures. It's allowed us to really look at the bottom line and how we look at completion technology and how we look at completion cost, how we look at how we're going to get the resources out of the ground with the most efficiencies. And so in this downtime, I think we've had an opportunity to do that. So our curves are reacting to that, our Bakken curves. We're getting more production at a higher rate earlier. We're looking at those. I think the entire industry is moving that way. Again, I think that would have that's the natural progression. I think a lot of people don't realize how really technologically advanced our industry is. I mean, we talk a lot about Apple and Silicon Valley and the things that are going on out there. And ironically, you have a governor in the state of North Dakota who's a tech guy, and he understands. I think that's going to it really melds well with our own industry of oil and gas. We're looking at big technology. We're looking at pipes that are wired where you can tell exactly where the bit is and what pressure in it, and those types of things that help us drill smarter and faster. And every hour that we can save is an hour on the bottom line. So those are the things that are really happening in the field that are that we've done just because of a where we are from a market perspective. But I will tell you, it's really when we do get some decent prices, it's going to really we're going to feel that benefit in the long term.
Not too long ago, I suppose it was maybe 6 months ago, maybe a little longer, I spoke with Warren Henry from your group about the scoop and the stack play. You guys found some good success there. Another, I guess, neat thing about, in addition to tightening belts, where there were some other shale plays that some success was found in order to, you know, bridge some of the gaps, that sort of thing. Are you guys finding much success in other plays? I know the Bakken's doing pretty well, the scoop and the stack. Any other plays that of note?
You know, from a continental standpoint, we are focused on the Bakken, but we do have our scoop and stack here in Oklahoma, our prolific oil and gas plays that we've had good rate of returns. We're still exploring. We're doing looking at how we space. The great thing about North Dakota is we've been able to have larger spacing units. We needed that in Oklahoma. We had some legislation over the last year that allowed us to do that. We're still kind of figuring out where those limits of the fields are, and doing a lot of exploration drilling here in Oklahoma. But we're extremely excited about our outcomes and where we're headed from Oklahoma in that perspective. It does highlight the impact of a competitive marketplace between the states, and that we look at where capital is best spent. We've got a few more rigs running in Oklahoma right now than in North Dakota because we're a little closer to the market. We're able to do we have a nice tax treatment in Oklahoma as well. That's helpful. That keeps some rigs here. So there's some things that are helpful in Oklahoma that Oklahoma's doing well. But I will tell you, it's one of those things that we're always exploring. Our company is a company that looks we're explorationists, and we have an amazing team of geologists. They're always out there looking. So I never know what they're going to be finding.
You know, a few of the things that I like to constantly hammer home when it comes to the oil and gas industry is number one, if you look at the last decade, it's the only net increaser of jobs in terms of at the end of a decade, the only industry that actually added jobs was the, I think they call it mining, but it's oil and gas essentially. Yeah. And then the other thing is, of course, that the downturn really showed how oil companies can not only become innovative, but expand their portfolios into new plays and that sort of thing to really become diverse with everything else. And to me, what that said from a 5,000 foot view is that activity is so important, just to keep the activity going, because we don't want that activity to stop. And with those two things, it kind of seemed like we're going to have a pretty good 2018, because if we're making money at $30, $40, I just can't see it going much lower than that. You know, it seems like you guys have gotten a pretty comfortable stride.
Well, I mean, I think we're always looking at how we make things better, without a doubt. I think that's part how you become profitable in a lower commodity price. How you look at what your the plays and how you make define those in a better define your rate of returns and understand where you're best spending your dollar. I mean, I think that's continuing. All companies will continue to do that in the downturn. I do think from just a pure economics perspective, I think as we look at supply and demand from the world petroleum, world gas, I think the more that we can do the kind of things that we're doing last week and entering into agreements with other countries and supplying American oil to those parts of the world where we have allies or potential allies, I think that's a way that we look at leveling the ups and downs of a commodity price, leveling the ups and downs of how we're producing and where we're selling. I think it's just an absolute must that we enter into those marketplaces, and it helps from a economic perspective, but it also helps from a world policy perspective or a geopolitical perspective to allow us to get in there and really have business partners, strategic business partners, and provide energy. I think of no one else in with all the troubles in the world, we've got a solid monetary, solid regulatory, a solid military, and our country's going to. We're looking for partners to be energy suppliers too. So I think that as we go forward will be a really good opportunity for domestic producers to see going forward.
Any final thoughts?
Well, I was up pheasant hunting a few weeks ago, and I think the bird numbers are down, but there still are some birds out in southwestern North Dakota, and it's I think the weather was coming in, but it was a beautiful couple weeks ago. It was a beautiful opening day, and so I'd encourage people to go out west and find some pheasants.
And that was Blue Hulsey, Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Regulatory Affairs with Continental Resources. To listen to this podcast or other podcasts, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly Crude Life newsletter. We're also on social media. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife, facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all of our other social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. And once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting the Crude Life Media Network. If you'd like to find out more information about our sponsors, or perhaps think about doing some business with our sponsors, or what the heck even thank our sponsors, go to our website, thecrudelife.com, click on our sponsors, take a look at them, and who knows, maybe there's somebody there that could help you in your business. And we'd like to thank our sponsors for keeping this podcast free and literally keeping our lights on. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
And that's it for this episode of the Crude Life Interview. My name is Jason Spies. Till next time, be happy and remember, sometimes life can just be crude. We'll see you next time, folks.
The
music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Gonna be